Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Sorry, I'm just eating some cake. Welcome to another episode of our podcast, which is called Sailing Tropical Dawn. Today is the 1st of March, and we're doing a last-minute podcast again because we're supposed to upload it today. And we're still in our garage of our house in Simonstown, Cape Town, South Africa. And I thought maybe this episode we could talk about our future sailing plans, because I'm sure some people have questions about that.
Okay.
You have a very worried face.
It's like, what future sailing plan?
Yeah, we were... We didn't make the time to record a podcast last week.
We were... We planned to go sailing. I mean, not sailing, sorry, camping.
We did go camping.
In the afternoon for the weekend. And in the morning we had some stuff happening here, work on the garage. So it was a bit like...
Crazy.
Chaotic and busy, and we basically threw everything into the car and left lunch.
I thought we could record a joke episode of like our future sailing plans, and then we could just say we're never sailing again. Thank you for listening to our podcast. But then I thought, actually, that's one option, which was the first option we considered while we were sailing back from to Cape Town from Brazil. But I think it's become a little bit more like there's different options. We're not sure actually what our future sailing plans are. Hey?
Well, I think Demi and I might be on different
pages
with regards to this. I mean, I think that maybe as time wears on, like, there may be a possibility for future sailing. But I don't know, I don't believe that such a long distance sailing would be on the cards. Although, like, I'm not adverse to, like, doing something as, like, St. Helena. But, like, I would need a lot more time in between before I do that.
I'm more comfortable bigger boat, probably, also.
Yeah, I guess also, I mean, even now that we're talking about it, although in my gut, I feel a repulsion to doing it. But I mean, even to go across to Brazil would not be that bad. I think it's just that the return from Brazil to South Africa was really, really long. And I think that was quite off-putting. But I think that's the only thing, because I would want to come home. And I think that if you, in Brazil... Like, if you don't want to do another long-distance sail, you would probably have to just continue sailing, which is what we were...
planning
to do. Yeah.
Continue to the Caribbean. I guess if we were to do that, like I said, we'd probably do it in a bigger boat and a catamaran, which is why it's not on the cards also right now, apart from the fact that we don't feel like doing that right now. But right now we can't afford a catamaran. And yeah... So that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Do you want to explain why a catamaran?
Catamaran, because, well, first of all, you're not heeling over.
Yeah.
Which is, like, especially on, well, parts of the trips where there was, like, heavy winds, makes a huge difference in your comfort. Also, the fact is, of the matter is that our boat was small. Like, I couldn't stand up in it, which... was kind of okay, but it just makes things less comfortable. Plus, we've got so little...
I mean, sorry, can you just clarify on your consent? You couldn't stand up in it, because you could stand up.
I could stand up, but I can't... like, I have to, like, hunch a little bit. That's, like, the headroom is not big enough. So, and apart from that, yeah, like, just to... Like, especially when you're really tired and you need to get ready for your watch and you're getting into your wet clothes, which... I think we explained maybe in the previous episode how that went. It just like things would be just a lot easier on a catamaran. Also, you just have two hulls, so you have double the space. Not exactly, but kind of. And that's the thing. Like, I think for the longer haul, like just knowing that you have all the things you need on board, which we actually did on the boat. Like, the boat was big enough even for the 45 days. I think the coffee's ready.
It's almost ready. It's sort of to come out.
We're making coffee on our little gas stove, and it's bubbling.
I think for me it would be like... Like, I love them on a hill when the conditions are perfect. Like, when the wind is, like, consistent and the waves are in perfect line, then you don't have this rocking left and right the whole time. Then it's fine because you know what you're working with. You know that the boat is going to be very consistent. But when the conditions are otherwise, then you have this rocking, and like cooking, for example, becomes an absolute like exhausting exercise. So because you have to basically balance your body while trying to balance a plate, while trying to cut vegetables, and it's just, and then trying to cook and not get yourself burnt at the same time. Like, it's just like really, really hard. Same with going to the toilet. Like, the boat is the head is on one side of the boat, and the boat keeps on rocking left and right. You have to fight to keep yourself on the toilet.
Yeah.
And then you have to fight to keep yourself off the toilet.
Like, when you get off. Yeah.
So it's like, it's really...
Everything is harder. So I mean... Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm imagining on a catamaran there would be a little bit of that, but it wouldn't be as extreme.
I just wanted to say, like, I've heard from people who sailed on catamarans, even big catamarans, who still get seasick, and you still... I mean, if there's big waves, like the boat will move with the waves. It just won't rock from side to side, but there's still gonna be movement. So it's not, doesn't solve the problem completely. But yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to compare like which catamaran to which monohull, which size. Like there's always with any boat, there's like advantages and disadvantages. And there are definitely disadvantages to catamarans, except for, apart from the price. I think if we do a big trip again, like a long, like a crossing, like a ocean crossing, it would be in a catamaran. Sorry, Kay is just making coffee for us. I'll pause for a little bit. You're back.
I'll come just to add my 2 cents. I think what would be really appealing...
Make sure you're close enough so that people can hear.
Sorry, guys. I think what would be is more appealing for me right now is to have the experience of sailing on someone else's boat where there's not this, like... I mean, I think Demi carried it more, but there's not this huge sense of responsibility. I mean, obviously, you will do... Like, I feel like we're both really, very good workers and we do what needs to get done, but it's that, like, unseen heavy responsibility that's hanging over you, that like, is everything going to be okay? Have we done all the checks? Is the boat in good order? Is there something that we've missed? Is everybody going to arrive safely? Is everybody comfortable? Is everybody happy? I think
we'll talk a little bit more about that option of sailing on other people's boats, but I guess the thing is, if you're sailing on someone else's boat, because as a skipper, you would still have to worry about... If I was a skipper on someone else's boat, which I'll get into in a little bit, how that could be a future of sailing. The other thing is, if it's your boat, then whenever something breaks or you need to do your maintenance or... Like, this, a boat is expensive. Even we had a small boat, so our costs were smaller, but still, our engine wasn't working at some point, then... You need to get the spares, you need to, like, there's a lot of stress that comes with owning a boat. And I think, apart from also the fact that, like, if you feel like, okay, I need to go home now, or you're just planning to do one crossing and then come back, like, if you own a boat and your boat is on the other side of the ocean and you need to somehow, deal with that. So if it's not your boat, then you, like, some stresses fall away. I think that might have been, I don't know, like one of the things that like put us off on the last passage. Just the fact that there was like, a lot of things on the boat that, like, well, actually it wasn't that bad, but I would think even if it's not that much, it's already like one worry less if it's not your boat. So to go more into the opportunity possibly of sailing on someone else's boat but still being a skipper, well then for me, while we were in St. Helena, we met quite a lot of people. I think all of them, or like most of them, South Africans who are delivery skippers, which means someone buys a boat, usually because a lot of catamarans, new catamarans are built in South Africa. So they buy a boat in South Africa, but they want to sail in the US or in the Caribbean, but they're new to sailing. So they don't feel comfortable sailing their own boat. What did you break?
Nothing. It's okay.
You sure?
Yeah, carry on.
sorry. So then they hire a delivery skipper. So there's two ways of doing deliveries. Like, one is that you just deliver the boat without, like, and bring it to the people who bought it, wherever they are. But the option we saw most was people actually sail with a delivery skipper, so they get to know the boat, they learn a bit more about sailing if they don't have that much experience. But there's someone who's a skipper, experienced skipper, who actually skippers the boat. And that's something, I mean, and a skipper would get paid for that. Like, you would get, it's different than crewing on someone else's boat, which also would be an option, which is usually free, or you actually pay for food and cost, but it depends which boat you're crewing on. But deliveries could be, well, it's definitely one of the options we thought about, or I thought about, as before we came back and as we were coming back. I haven't actually looked into it because I've actually haven't been in the mood to even pursue that right now. But I think it might be a nice way to earn some money and gain some experience and be sailing. Like, I think it might be nice. And a possibility we thought of is that I would be a skipper and Kay would be crew. So we do that together. Other option would be for me to do that by myself.
Yeah, I think the appeal for me of being a crew on somebody else's boat is that I feel like our learning, there would be like exponential learning. Like, we already learned so much, but that was through like going through the deep end. You know, like, we learned a whole lot, but I'd like to like know like more of the for lack of a better way to describe it, like more of the finesse side of it, where like somebody's been sailing for 20 years or 30 years, like, just knows, like, has little tips or tricks, or just are able to like read things in a way that like you wouldn't know unless you had been sailing for 20 years.
Yeah. So you're thinking now of being crew on either someone who's very experienced or with a very experienced delivery skipper. Or
I think so. Like, I feel like it would just be really interesting. Like,
no, it would be. It would be. The other part of it is that it would give us a chance to sail on boats. Like I said, a lot of the deliveries or even just crewing on someone else's boat. Mm-hmm. Most of the boats are much bigger than ours, either monohulls or catamarans. So it's off boats that, like, no matter what the future holds for us financially, boats that are just out of our reach. Like, or even if we had that kind of money, we probably would not be spending it on a boat, because there's like so many other things like that you could do with that money. So I think it would also be a great experience to sail on, and if you crew on different boats, every time you crew with different people, so you learn from them, but also you crew on different boats, like, and you get to actually see what it's like to sail on, for instance, a big catamaran or a big monohull, or even like just any boat.
I think another thing that's also appealing, and I think that we watched like a documentary, but I can't remember what it was about, exactly what it was about or what it was called, but it was like quite a big monohull and it had quite a huge crew, and I think it was like scientific or
what was that, the like the classic boat that was sailing from I think Antarctic. There was well, we've seen different boats. There was one where they sailed to Antarctica, which is I think it's called Voyage to the End of the World. That was like on a pretty big boats, and
quite a young crew, eh?
Yeah, quite a young crew.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking
of. Okay, because there was also another boat of, another video of, we watched, I think that one was on YouTube, of one of those classic, well, not the super, super big ones, but a classic boat that, as COVID hit, they were in South America somewhere, and they sailed back to the Netherlands, which was their home port, or somewhere in Europe. So those would also be amazing experiences. I mean, we haven't actually even...
Can I just finish my thought?
...thought about that, but yeah. So let's... Okay, finish your thought, sorry.
Well, the whole thing that I think was appealing about that documentary was seeing the social kind of experiment that went on.
Yeah.
And like, just to... I mean, it is like quite a grueling experience that you go through. So like, I think for like Demi and my relationship is like... 100%. I mean, even we were so good before, but like it's even so much better. Like,
yeah, because we've learned we can count on each other in the hardest times, and even if we might at some point shout at each other, which is just I think inevitable. When you're sailing, inevitable. Sorry, I mean, I think it. I don't know. Like I don't know who would never like.
Have a strong reaction.
both partners would have to be like absolute Zen masters to not. But the thing is, we do like that happens, and then afterwards we just talk about it, and we just say like, "Yeah, that was tough," and like, "Sorry, I shouted."
Yeah, but this is how I was feeling, and that's why I reacted that way. And then it's like I think we're both just, we forget about it, like, straight after, because it's just like we understand I think it's a hard thing.
Yeah, I think even like we say. Those things, obviously, we say sorry because we are, but like, I think after the moment's gone, I think we both know this was just like what was happening in the moment. It's not
personal.
Personal. Yeah. And I mean, so that's true. But yeah, you're totally right. Actually, I listened to while we were on the passage from Brazil to Cape Town to a podcast, which was, I forgot the name of the podcast, but anyway, it was about the difference between sailing shorthanded, so with little crew versus bigger crew, and the format was it that, like, these two people were experienced sailors who actually sail a lot with crew and without, I mean, just in smaller crews, and they each had to defend one of the positions. So it was actually quite interesting to hear, because what you talked about, the few movies or videos or documentaries you watched, and hearing this experience of actually the social interaction if you're sailing with a crew, especially like a lot of crews are just people who haven't per se met each other before, and you're like now all on a boat together, and you actually need to like work together, which I think is like really interesting and can be really beautiful. It also can go wrong, but like I guess that's the thing about humans when they do things together. Like, sometimes it goes well, sometimes it goes less good. But I think in both cases, you probably will learn a lot about how you behave amongst others. Because when we act, when the two of us are together, we obviously, I mean, we will be different than amongst other people. Because when we're just the two of us, we don't really care about, I mean, we understand each other. So there's no... There's not a lot of social norms. Not a lot of clothes when it's hot. Like, those kind of things. Like, I guess that's, like, when there's more people on board, then, that's, like, a different thing. So I think, that part of it definitely, I mean, you're totally right. That would also be interesting. So that's one possibility of us crewing on other people's boats.
Yeah, but having said all of that, we are still planning to adopt a child.
So that's going to be priority number one, which is why I mentioned, like, possibly me doing some either delivery or skipper work, but I can't just start as a delivery skipper. I think I need to gain some experience sailing, like sailing with experienced skippers. So the possibility comes in that I would do that while Kay stays home, although I would not be ideal if we have a small child that I would be gone for weeks, possibly months. So it's something we thought about. I mean, I thought about personally, I mean, when we talked about, which is not really something I've even looked into since we got back, but that's one of the possibilities.
Yeah.
So the other thing is about our boat.
Yeah.
Plans with our boat, which have kind of shifted a little bit from when we left Brazil while we were on our way, while we were back. The first idea, which I think is still very likely, is that we... And then there's not that much needed on the boat, but like there's some minor, I would say, engine issues that need to be resolved. There's like some maintenance on the sails and on other things, and a few things that need to just be put in order, and then putting the boat for sale, up for sale, which I don't think we've mentioned on the podcast because it's something that we've talked about, but not that much with other people even, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we haven't. So the reason why we wouldn't put a boat up for sale is because it's like really expensive. If you're not going to be doing regular sailing, it's really expensive to just keep a boat in the water. Like, it's just a waste of money, really.
Yeah. Can I
just
go into that a little bit? So there's different costs involved. One is the cost of a marina or like yacht club, where you have to be a member of the yacht club and pay mooring fees. The other part of it is just the upkeep of the boat, like making sure everything stays in order. And just the boat sitting in the water, like things will like break or wear down, or like, so there's like definitely, I mean, that's the reality of boat owning, and that's for any boat. We've heard it from people who have a little like rigid inflatable boat, like a dinghy basically, that they use for fishing in the weekends, like that you put on a trailer. Even that costs money, and obviously the bigger the boat, the bigger the cost. Our boat isn't that big, but there's like definitely cost involved. And yeah, the thing is also, yeah, anyway, sorry, that's all I wanted to say. You were...
No,
so the cost factor is one thing. The other thing is, like, it's like with anything, like, for instance, I've got a motorbike. I haven't been using this motorbike for a while. The cost is minimal because, like, we cancelled the insurance and basically the only cost is a license. But, like, it's just a waste to have a motorbike you're not using. And I feel the same about the boat. Like, I feel like a boat is made to be sailed. Like, apart from the fact that things will... I feel like a boat deteriorates faster if it's not sailed than if it's sailed. Obviously, it depends how hard you sail it. Like, if you're racing and, like, pushing it, then obviously things will break. But I feel like if you don't use it, it actually deteriorates. But on the other hand, also, I feel like there's so many boats we see that are, like, in bad condition and, like, not being looked after. And it's just sad. Like, beautiful boats. Like, any boat is beautiful, really. I mean, maybe also from our experience sailing on a boat, like, I really love boats, and I feel like if you own a boat, like, if you have a boat, like, a boat needs to be used. That's what it's built for.
Yeah, and we don't have any plans of doing any long-distance sailing, in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
On our own boat, so, like, we don't want her just to sit around waiting for us.
But...
Yes.
There are the opportunities of sailing locally.
Yes.
Sorry, I feel like I interrupted again. So the thing about Cape Town is it's Cape Town. It's like basically the town near the Cape, which is the Cape of Good Hope, which actually is like, when you look at it, the tip of it is actually Cape Point, but it's doesn't matter. There's a Cape, which means that it's like you got two sides of the Cape. One side is like the southeaster side, which is not really the Indian Ocean, but closer to the Indian Ocean, and the other side is the Atlantic side. We're in Simonstown, which is on the side of towards the east, which is actually called Falls Bay, which is like, now that we're back and we see, like, I mean, we've had some beautiful days, like with some with like more wind, but a lot of with like light winds, like perfect sailing winds, beautiful sun, and we see the boats, sailboats out, and it just like, it is really beautiful to sail here. Like, it feels like, I mean, if we had our boat here on this side and we like felt like it would be nice to do some day sails.
I'm not a day sailor.
Kay's rolling her eyes.
No, it's not an eye roll, it's an eye bulge because
<It's> like...
because I am not a day sailor because I get seasick, so it's not worth my while to go out there for a few hours and feel horrible.
Because you only get over your seasickness after a few days.
So in my mind, it's not like appealing at all. But I mean, Demi was looking at a little sailboat.
Smaller boats, like trailer sailors, basically boats you put on a trailer. So so you just put them in the water when you go sailing, and then you store them on land, which would mean that the you don't pay marina fees, and the boat also can be undercover, like it's not in the water, out the water, so it's less wear. There are some like small yachts which actually you can sleep in and that are actually that are trailerable. There's not as many options as, but yeah, that's one option, which wouldn't mean buying another boat, which definitely would mean selling this boat, because we do not want to be in the position again where we own two boats, which we had for a while, and that's just two times the cost and the stress. But what I wanted to say is, like, the boat is right now at Royal Cape Yacht Club, which is in the harbor of Cape Town, which has its advantages and disadvantages. One of the main disadvantages is it's a working harbor, and they're, like, close by. There's, like, sometimes sandblast boats. There's, like, big, like, these massive boats. There are diesel engines running, so there's a lot of soot, and like, your boat gets dirty. Like, we haven't actually been back to your boat. It probably looks completely black by now.
Yeah.
The other disadvantage is that you have to sail through the harbor to get in and out, which means you every time you go out you lose about at least half an hour,
and you each way
going in and going out. I mean, it's we love sail because that's where we learn to sail. Basically, we love because that side is actually called Table Bay. But yeah, I mean, I also feel like we've seen it, and like the nice thing about Royal Cape is that they've do a lot of things, like they have regular races and there's a lot of activity, so it's like, and there's like definitely a community, but we're not planning to keep the boat there. That's where the boat is now, Tropical Dawn, because we still need the engine to get fixed, which is actually something we need to follow up with in the coming week. The first plan was to put the boat back in her bay where we bought it and where she was for like the first half year, or where we actually lived for the first half year before we set sail. It's a beautiful bay to sail in, Hout Bay, which actually the place is called Hout Bay, but it's because it is in a bay, where the name comes from. Smaller harbor, fishing harbor. The disadvantage there is that like a lot of the fishermen, like the water is like, can be pretty dirty because oil and other crap gets in the water, but it's not the worst. I mean, disadvantage there is that like the winds coming off the mountains into the bay can get really strong, but it's a beautiful place to sail, so good option. Bought Hout Bay and Royal Cape. Disadvantage would be that it takes us about 45 minutes to get there from home, so like just to go for a quick sail, or even just to be on the boat if we need to do work, would be less easy. Third option, which was the first option when we were still thinking of just coming back and not selling the boat, was to put the boat in Simonstown, Falls Bay Yacht Club, which is a marina, but the marina is completely fully booked most of the time. There's not enough spots, so we probably would not be able to have a walk-on mooring, which means the boat would have to be on a swing mooring, which is a buoy.
I think we've spoken about this before.
Have we?
Yeah, with the cormorants and everything.
Yeah, so yeah, then when it's on a swing mooring, we'd have to put a net up to stop, to make sure cormorants don't nest there. But it is really beautiful to sail here, and it would be close by. So anyway, that's the three options. Whether we keep the boat or put the boat for sale, like those would be the three places we could keep the boat. I mean, there's others, but yeah, I quite like the idea of being able to just go for a sail here in the bay. But, yeah, I mean, what I'm thinking right now is probably once the boat's, like, sorted out and we've put it somewhere, is that we put her up for sale, but we know it, like, can take a while before a boat sells, and we just keep using the boat till she sells.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then once the boat sells, then we can think of, like, do we want to get a smaller boat, an even smaller boat, a trailer sailer, just maybe a boat that's just like 27 foot, which we could just take out for weekends or for day sails. Like, I mean, Langebaan is beautiful, like to spend some time at anchor there. Anyway, there's options, but we haven't actually, we're doing this podcast actually since we've been back, we've hardly talked about this because we haven't actually, I mean, we've been just focused on sorting out our land life and sorting out our little garage so that it becomes a livable space so we can rent it out. Which is almost finished, so we will have time to focus on other things. But I thought, actually that's what we wanted to talk about this podcast, so people know where we're at and if we're going to still be sailing or not. I believe I'll still be sailing.
Me too.
You, eventually.
I believe you will be sailing. Okay. No, I mean, I wouldn't, yeah. I think we'll have to see how things go, because it's difficult to commit to that kind of lifestyle now when we...
Yeah, with the plans that we have. Up in the air, and like we don't know how long the adoption process is going to take. I mean, our plans, which was one of the main reasons to sell the boat, is like that we want to actually do more land travel, because we want to explore more of Africa, Southern Africa, South Africa, possibly other places in the world, without per se sailing there. I mean, that was why we started sailing, because one thing was because I love sailing. But the other thing is also, it's a way to get to other places and then discover those places. And we did discover, like, some really amazing places that way, like Santa Helena in Brazil, which if it wasn't for sailing, we wouldn't have gone to, or definitely not right now, but Santa Helena, I don't think we would ever have gone there if it wasn't for sailing. So it's really amazing, sailing, but like, and I mean, I guess the thing is, while we wanted to sail there is also just as awareness of like carbon footprint, and like traveling by plane carries an enormous carbon footprint, but at this point it's just like are we gonna like I don't know, I guess we just have to in our minds see like how we can travel other ways and that are like it would be less sustainable than sailing, but like just for ourselves how we can do it that we feel okay about. But like we said, like just traveling nearby, so many places we haven't been that we can get to by car or by land that we want to explore. So that's probably going to be the next couple of years at least, but maybe some sailing in between. Do you have anything else you wanted to
say? No, I don't think so. I think that's it.
Yeah. So about the podcast, we were planning to keep the podcast going, but now we realized, well, first of all, like now with land life, like it actually turns out that we like have so many things going on that we sometimes forget, like, well, or forget the last minute to do the podcast, which happened before as well as we were traveling, but... I guess we don't have that much to talk about sailing-wise anymore.
No, so we have made a jump from the podcast to radio.
Back to radio, which is what we did first.
So every Wednesday at 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock South African time, so that's 6 GMT plus 2, so that's like 1400 UTC, to speak in both terms.
To me, yeah.
What? It's easier. It's easier for people. You know what your time zone is. It's gonna be 1600. So 4 in the afternoon, Greenwich Meridian time, and then whatever your time zone is, you add or subtract that on Wednesday. We're gonna do the radio show weekly, which is on Radio Free Tankwa.
Yeah.
Just look it up anywhere, like either radiofreetankwa.com or just look it up where. Like if you use an app to listen to online radio, there's like different apps that you can use. We I think it's called Radio Garden.
Yeah.
And, it's a really nice one, and you can find Radio Free Tankwa on there. So that's Radio Free Tankwa. Sorry, I don't know. I like
Tankwa is those who are not from South Africa. It's TANKWA,
which is a place in the Karoo where Africa Burn is, because this is the Africa Burn Radio.
So, it's going to be more or less a similar type of thing. It just won't be only, it won't be only sailing related. It would be more like what's happening in our lives, but there will also be some cool music in between.
Yes. Because we can't, Kay suggested we could just put the radio show online as a podcast, but for copyright reasons, you're not allowed to put more than 30 seconds of music in a podcast, because otherwise you have to pay.
Yeah.
But since it's a radio show, there we can't play music. So just tune in to Radio Free Tanqua to hear what we're up to. Like I said, similar format, but also not. It's a bit about what goes on in our lives, but also about Africa Burn, which is in about 2 months now, so it's getting closer.
Yeah.
So we were excited about that. I'm very excited about doing the radio. Are you excited about radio?
About the radio shows?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm excited, but I do enjoy it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's also nice, a different format, which is quite nice because we do have the music, so it's not just like
talking
for an hour.
Yeah, because we used to do it for quite a while. We did it for a couple of years every week. And at some point it did become a bit of a drag, and then we stopped doing it. But I remember when we were still doing weekly shows, when Kay didn't feel like talking, neither of us felt like talking, which was just play music, which is also just fun, because I love playing music, I love DJing. And so yeah, check out our radio show. I'll put a link to Radio Free Tanqua, to the website. In the show notes, so you can click there, but you should be able to find it with a quick web search. So yeah, for now I think we're not gonna do any more podcasts. We'll probably, once we've got an idea of what's happening sailing wise or if anything changes, I think we might still do like the occasional episode, but it's not gonna be a weekly thing anymore. So definitely stay subscribed to our podcast if you're interested in hearing what our future sailing plans are. But also listen to our radio show.
Right? Okay.
So yeah, and also, as always, feel free to drop us a line, a mail or a message or whatever. The contact info we'll also put on the in the show notes. But you can just go otherwise to svtropicaldawn.blog, which is our blog/website/ where we host our podcast, and you can get in touch with us there, because we'd love to hear from you if you're planning to sail or you have any questions, like anything that we mentioned or haven't mentioned. We're definitely keen to answer any questions anyone have, or just interact with you. Not even just if we get questions, maybe even do a podcast where we answer some questions.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Kay is giving me the eye side of like, okay,
let's
cut this out. Like, this is long enough. Okay. Well, hope to hear from you however. Enjoy the rest of your day. What?
And have a nice meal for lunch.
Or dinner or breakfast, whatever time of day you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Are you making fun of me?
Yes.
I wasn't sure.
Okay, for real now, I'm going to say goodbye.
Bye.